The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God loves us all, no matter what. Just hold that thought in your mind. There are some people you meet that are instantly recognisable, completely unforgettable for whatever reason. And other people, you meet them and then you forget them. In fact, actually, if you met them again, you'd struggle to remember who they were. There's some people, you're not necessarily even aware of their existence until, of course, they're not there and then someone realises what job they've been doing for years. We're continuing our series on A Christmas Carol. And everyone's heard of the ghost, and everyone's heard of Scrooge, and possibly even heard of Tiny Tim. But there's another character, Bob Cratchit. Now, actually, in most of the book, he isn't even referred to by name. He's called the Clerk, because he worked for Ebenezer Scrooge. And I suspect you'd struggle to pick him out of a crowd. Bit of clothing, a bit threadbare, ink fingers, ink stained. In fact, probably looked like just about any other clerk at the time. Our reading from Matthew this morning is known as the Beatitudes. And I could preach on all of them, but we have got a carol service to do tonight. So we're going to look at one particularly, but the others apply as well. The meek shall inherit the earth. And that might just describe Bob Cratchit, meek and humble. Now that doesn't sit easily with us, because meek and humble implies that you're a doormat, that you're just willing to be walked over, you'll give in to anything, everything, what anyone says you'll agree with and do. But the whole of the Beatitudes are like that. They're contrary to what people and society expect and how we usually behave and think. But then Jesus never did or said the expected. If we'd written the Beatitudes, I think we might have written something slightly different. Blessed are the pushers, for they get on in the world. Blessed are the hard-boiled, for they never let life hurt them. Blessed are those who complain, for they get their own way in the end. Blessed are the blasé, for they never worry over their sins. Blessed are the slave drivers, for they get results. Blessed are the knowledgeable people of the world, for they know their way around. Blessed are the troublemakers, for they make people take notice of them. Hold that last one in your thoughts. Blessed are the troublemakers. Because being meek and humble doesn't mean giving in all the time, or putting up with how things are, or accepting that things are never going to change, or let anyone and everyone walk all over us. Bob Cratchit might have been described as meek and humble, but he wasn't afraid of asking questions. Could he have another piece of coal for the fire? And even more radical, could he have all Christmas Day off? Not just for himself, but for his family, especially Tiny Tim, who's actually Bob Cratchit's disabled son. Well, you never know what's going to happen. And Scrooge, as we know, was confronted by the ghosts and the visions. And his heart changes because of what he sees and what happens, how the Cratchit family is on Christmas Day, and what will happen in the future. And he changes his ways. He sends the turkey to the Cratchit family, puts more coal on the fire, and I think he even gives him a wage rise as well. Being meek and humble doesn't mean not asking the awkward questions or saying, this isn't right. After all, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Jesus said, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And if that's Jesus' attitude, no one could accuse him of accepting the way things were or letting people walk all over him. Jesus was always asking the awkward questions. Follow me. Give up this. Follow me. He was always breaking the rules, talking to unsuitable people. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, healing people on the Sabbath. Shock, horror, and even more radical, forgiving sins. Jesus was always saying, this isn't right, turning the tables over in the temple to drive out the money changers, meeting people where they were, the woman at the well in Samaria. Shouldn't have even been talking to her, never mind changing her life. Meek and humble? I don't think so, or at least not as necessarily as we think about things. Jesus never passively accepted how things were, but was actively involved and actually did something. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, upset people along the way. Now, I'm not saying we should upset people, but sometimes we have to do something. We're told we have to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Not looking to our own interests, although sometimes it is right to put ourselves first, to look after ourselves, to be kind to ourselves. There's nothing wrong in that. But we also need to look to the interests of others. Be willing to ask the awkward questions, to say this isn't right, and to keep on asking them rather than give up. It can be a bit like that in prayer sometimes as well. We don't want to upset anything. We want to be nice. So we end up praying, well, God, if it isn't too much trouble, could you just heal Fred's knee? Okay, well, you don't have to heal it completely. Just take away a bit of the pain. Yeah, that would be quite good. If you have the time, and you don't mind, of course. Admit it, we've all prayed prayers that are more like that than, look, God, this isn't right, do something. Sort it out now. The problem is when you pray that second sort of prayer, is quite likely to turn around and say, yeah, you've got it, yeah. Okay, you want something, do it yourself. So I'll be there, I'll be with you, but you sort it out. You do something. Yes, it isn't right, but I need you to do something for me. If you look at the various movements over the last 200 years or so, things like the abolition of slavery, race equality in the USA, Live Aid, the Jubilee campaign, and many others, all started with one person or a small group of people. Not only saying this isn't right, but doing something about it. Not for their own glory or power, but to change things for others. Blessed are the troublemakers, because they make people take notice of them. So where does that leave us? What has stirred you? What is God saying to you this morning? Or has been saying, where you're thinking, this isn't right? Could be something local, national, or even international. And even more, what are you going to do about it? Because doing nothing is not an option. Because God loves us. And we're called to show and tell others about that love. So easy to think we can't do anything. It's far too big. There is a Chinese proverb which says, the longest journey starts with a single step. Do something. And it's not what we do, it's the way that we do it. That's what gets results. And I think that's Bananarama for those of a certain age. Okay, some people are with me, some people are completely blank faces. We can't always go in with all guns blazing. Metaphorically, by the way, before you think I'm advocating violence and telling people you've got it all wrong, although sometimes that might be the right thing to do. But we can ask the awkward questions, we can raise the issues, we can say this isn't right, and then be prepared to listen to God and do something about it. Jesus did that. He listened to his Father, was guided by the Holy Spirit. It's recorded, he said, what do you want me to do here, Father? What shall I do now? And that's why often he left places when people were still wanting to speak to him, because God wanted him elsewhere. But is the attitude being humble? Can't do any. Even Jesus couldn't do anything on his own strength. But no one would have accused Jesus of being meek and mild. Bob Cratchit, our insignificant clerk, asked the awkward questions, and it was seen how his life really was one of the things that made Scrooge change. So at this Christmas time, let us display some of that attitude. For it not to be all about presents, food, Christmas trees and me, but about a baby born in a manger who would change the world. About others and how we can change the world. And of course, it's not just about Christmas. This is for life, not for Christmas. Scrooge says towards the end of A Christmas Carol, I will honour Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. Surely that's for us as well. What we do now, we take forward to next year. Do it all through love, but try, make a difference to people and change the world, because you never know where God might take us. So Lord, help us to be those troublemakers, to love each other, to make people take notice of us and you, and to change the world, to speak up and say this isn't right, but to do it all through love. Amen.